Once upon a time, a little girl became very sick and lost all her memories. She was empty as the day she was born. But in that dark emptiness, the voice of God spoke, walk, talk, heal. And by grace through faith, she did. Soon, the girl was even fuller and more alive than before her forgetting. But the voice of God continued to speak to her, and soon he commanded, heal others as I have healed you. Teach them the power of faith that it may connect them to me and my power. My name is Robin Renee Wilson, and that little girl was me. For the last 35 years, through my relationship with God, I have participated in many miracles of healing, prophecy, and deliverance. None of these should be possible, but that is God's way. You can accomplish anything. Heal the deepest wounds and create doors where there were only walls if you simply trust in faith over facts. Welcome back to Faith Over Facts. I'm your host, Robin Renee. And today we have a special guest, Dr. Lucretia Robinson. Hi, Lucretia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you here today. This is amazing. So a fun fact for me, I just found out she was a doctor. It's Dr. Lucretia Robinson. So I'm super excited. How did you get started? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I'm also dually licensed as a licensed professional clinical counselor. My doctor is because I have a PsyD, which is a doctorate of psychology. So I wear different hats, but I like to call myself a mental health advocate.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. So do you have any children? Tell us a little about yourself. You have a family. What's going on with your family life?
Yes, I have a daughter. She's 6 years old. And I also do private practice. So I'm working part-time at a private practice. I also supervise staff there. So it's a small mental health therapy practice. And I also teach adjunct at California State University, Dominguez Hills. So I juggle all of that.
I love it. And you are amazing. You're always active, but you always are so positive. You have a lot on your plate, but always bring good energy. I love that about yourself. Always positive, always smiling, always happy. Mm-hmm. You make me feel good every time we're in each other's presence when
I'm
doing
your
hair.
Thank you, likewise.
It's a good thing. Good vibes. Yeah. What is have you ever experienced faith over facts in your life, a faith over facts moment?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the most triggering time was when I was pregnant with Liberty. I received a diagnosis that she could have potentially had Down syndrome. And unfortunately, the doctor was misinterpreting the score. So we got a second opinion. And so within that part, of course, faith kicked in. And that's where, everything ended up turning out to be okay. Yeah. I mean, you see Liberty.
Yeah, she is amazing.
Right. Her energy, it was just one of those things that sometimes trusting science, again, they can give you a false positive. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, that's exactly what it was. So I'm glad that I trusted God in the process and everything came out okay with her.
I love it. And I love her name, Liberty.
Yes.
I love that. Right. It's beautiful. Did you get that name because of all of that or just...
It just came about. I like the name and it stuck with it. We also had some challenges because her grandmother on her father's side passed 2 weeks before getting to meet her. So, it was just kind of a positive spin on a situation that was unfortunate. So,
I love her. She's so adorable.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much. So, can you explain how thoughts and feelings impact the mental health well-being?
Yeah, they're very important because they're all interconnected. What we think affects the way we feel, and it also affects the way we behave, so our behaviors. So sometimes you might find that the thought is that I'm not good enough, and that thought of I'm not good enough will lead to someone feeling unworthy. Mm-hmm. And then that unworthy will kick over to behavior to where now you're socially isolating from others. Mm-hmm. Your self-esteem has took a toll. So all of it is really interconnected in the sense that what we think affects the way that what we feel and also affects what we do. So it plays a big role in that.
So I noticed that it was a graduate stage. It went from one thing to the next. Mm-hmm. That's deep.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
So it's always important to be mindful of those things because sometimes we're telling ourselves negative things and that will in turn affect our thought process and also what we do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start thinking you're not worthy, and then you start doing things that, like you said, isolation and just, I'm not worthy of being around other people. I'm not worthy to go there. I'm not worthy to. That's beautiful. Exactly. I love how you broke that down. That's really good. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really good. So in doing so, what can we do to help that? You know, because I love affirmations. I'm always about affirmations. Yeah. Speaking, I am worthy. I am enough. Mm-hmm. I am beautiful. I am, you know, all these things. Do you think people should speak affirmations? Mm-hmm. Should they just be around, watch, encouraging? What can they do to get out of that rut? Mm-hmm.
That's a really great thing to say, because sometimes, too, saying positive affirmations will increase that positivity and also, again, enhance your mood. So mm-hmm. I always find people mm-hmm. who are coping and kind of have positive thoughts, mm-hmm. it means they're coping well. So yeah. Usually I would say doing a little bit mm-hmm. of that positive affirmation, but I think the biggest thing someone could do is recognizing that they do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I find people are so hard on themselves mm-hmm. and they think they're pushing themselves that they don't realize that it has a negative effect on them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just starting with knowing that, one, you are saying negative mm-hmm. things yourself and being mm-hmm. kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. And also, too, I mean, I think along with that, just being mindful of what you're saying and what you're thinking and mm-hmm. how that may have an impact on you. I usually catch it with journaling. So sometimes mm-hmm. I find if I'm going back and doing some self-reflection over the day and looking at where I had low moments at mm-hmm. or low energy, that mm-hmm. what did I tell myself? Did I say, mm-hmm. oh, I'm tired, this is too much? Mm-hmm. Or did I say kind of like, you know, I'm tired, but I'm okay, you know?
Exactly.
And keep going.
Exactly. I think that's so important. I felt like I had this experience this past week, and it was hard. It was actually the last 3 weeks has been really hard at work, something that was so easy for me. And mm-hmm. I just felt like it was a challenge after challenge after challenge. And I got to a place where I had to show myself kindness. I said, you know, I can't do you today. I have to, you come back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and that's so, I normally don't have to ever do that. Mm-hmm. But I had to take care of me, because right. I realized that it was a little too much for me, mm-hmm. you know, and it wasn't the person. It was just everything that was going on. It just didn't. I said, now, what can I do next time so this doesn't happen?
Right.
Because a lot of times people are busy, you're busy, and misunderstand things can happen. It can be misunderstood. And it's like, wow, how do we get here?
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that self-reflection and then mm-hmm. that corrective behavior, because mm-hmm. some people will see themselves do it, but then won't provide that corrective place to mm-hmm. it to say, like, I need to take a step back and be kind to themselves in that way.
Mm-hmm. And not really worry about what nobody else thought.
Right.
I have to take care of me
exactly.
right now. I can't take care of you yeah. until I take care of me.
Right.
And that was one of the things that they taught us in hair school. Oh. They stay taught when it gets difficult, sometimes you just have to walk away mm-hmm. and then come back. So I did walk away. I came back and it was still there. I said, okay, I can't do this today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's because I don't have all the tools that I need to get this done. And sometimes my faith sometimes can get me in trouble mm-hmm. because I'm like, okay, God, you can turn water to wine, you know, mm-hmm. you fed the multitude with 5 loaves of bread, you know, and 2 loaves of, with five fish and 2 loaves of bread. I'm like, Lord, you got this. And so sometimes it's like, no, we're not doing a miracle today. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just have to just say no and take a break, regroup, and start again. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I'm learning. God is not always doing those little small miracles. Sometimes he's like, I want you to see how are you gonna handle that? Mm-hmm. And be okay with saying, being kind to yourself. I think a lot of times we're not kind to ourselves.
Exactly. And I think, too, the biggest important piece that you said is just recognizing that, like, if you're not your best, you can be your best for other people. And, mm-hmm. you know, again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's important. Just recognizing that. Thank you. I feel good. Thank you. So, in what way can negative anxiety and thinking of impact a person's daily life mm-hmm. over their well-being? Like, so just how can that affect mm-hmm. a person's daily life?
So usually if you're thinking negatively, you're usually probably having some type of negative energy or you mm-hmm. having sad thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that could impact people wanting to be around mm-hmm. you. Like nobody wants to be around mm-hmm. a Debbie Downer. Yes. It also impacts us because, like, again, like I said, if you're being negative and hard on yourself, you're mm-hmm. probably withdrawing from things that usually could be uplifting, like being around other people because mm-hmm. you don't feel good. Mm-hmm. The same with anxious thoughts. Like if you're overthinking things or kind of just yes. thinking that things are going to be always negative or turn out a certain way, that usually, like, that piece of kindness is not there. So you find yourself either pushing people away mm-hmm. or you pushing yourself away from other people.
Or pushing mm-hmm. yourself away from other people by your behavior.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times people don't want to deal with the overthinking and like doubting Thomas, because Thomas was in the Bible, so he was a doubter. He always mm-hmm. overthought everything. I want to better see the hoe in his hand. He just was like, let me see your hoe. Is that you really, you Jesus? Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't want to be that overthinker. And sometimes I find myself overthinking it because I wanted to be a start that perfectionism.
Right, right.
And God has really been dealing with me with that perfectionism, mm-hmm. you know, and that stems with that overthinking and just, you know, and so I have really been working hard on that, like, stop it, you mm-hmm. know, no mm-hmm. overthinking, everything's not going to be perfect. And even though you want to work towards it, right. but know that it's not going to be all the time, you know, mm-hmm. and it's okay. And I think that, I think growing up, because I lost my memory and I had to learn things all over again, and I experienced so many different things. And so my mother had to take me through training and coaching and this therapy and this therapist and this, to where I just put on this mask of just perfectionist. I want everything to be so perfect because of my past experience. Mm-hmm. And so trying to overcome those childhood trauma that I experienced, I used to mask it. Mm-hmm. Like everything has to look good because I would, you know, because I lost my memory, then I had to learn this, had to do that. So you just want everything to look good. Mm-hmm. And it's not always going to work that way. You might not always sound your best. You might not always look your best, but it's okay. Just as long as you're doing your best, you know?
Right. I like to tell people to strive towards perfection, mm-hmm. that everything is going to be perfect because, you know, things are in the gray. It doesn't have to be black or white, that mm-hmm. it has to be perfect mm-hmm. or, you know, or everything is wrong. So it's like giving, like you said, that grace mm-hmm. and also kind of being kind to yourself in that process.
Yeah, so everything is true. Actually, in life, just learning to be kind mm-hmm. to yourself, learning mm-hmm. to love yourself. And I really found in that, you know, not always thinking negative, but always turning around for the positive, you know.
Right.
Being optimistic, thinking optimistically, mm-hmm. you know, not pessimistic. But I think what happens when you turn it around for positive thinking and not negative thinking, you find yourself really, like, evolving. Mm-hmm. You grow. You mm-hmm. know, you evolve, you grow, because it's like when you feel negative, it's like you dim it. You get lower and lower. Mm-hmm. But when you start thinking positive, like, okay, I got this. Mm-hmm. I can do this. Oh, it's looking good. Then you start like, wow, and everything is increasing. And then, like, your energy level and everything about you is just, it's lifting up. But when you don't, then you kind of like that, woe, like you said, that woe is me, right. you know, and then negative thoughts, woe is me, here we go again. Things, life is going to happen. And I had said something this week, like I was sharing with my experience. I was like, man, if I was a new hairstylist, I don't know if I would. I probably like, I'm not doing weaves anymore. Right. I'm not doing, you know, this, maybe this is not meant for me. But I was seasoned mm-hmm. and that happened. And I was like, wow, but God had to show me, but that wasn't your thing. Next time, do it this way with her. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and even we both kind of had a conversation on it. We were like, next time we're going to do, because especially if you don't see a person a lot, things change. Mm-hmm. As women, our life is changing. Things is changing. And you always want to present yourself. I always want to present, give my person the whole me with love and compassion. And I want everyone always says, when I leave your salon, I always have a great experience. They always say, I have a Trinity experience. You know, I have this great experience.
I could attest to that. Thank you. I agree.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I always want people to have that experience. And I mm-hmm. think that is my, like you said, shooting, not being perfect, but shooting for perfection. And even when it was happening, she said, Robin, yeah, this is not you. But I think I found, too, that I need a day off. Mm-hmm. And when I don't have my days off,
right. uh-huh.
you know, you don't say, oh, can you come in so I can look at this before? Because I had pre-planned everything, but it just went left. Mm-hmm. And I thought I did everything right. But it's when you're not rested. sometimes it can throw things off a little bit.
Agreed.
You know? So I said, I need to make sure that I take that time for, even if it's a day. That's why the Bible tells us to keep your Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Have that day of rest. And I thought I had a day of rest, but it really wasn't. And so when I don't have my full day, it seems like it gets a little rocky. And so I'm like, okay, I need to make sure I think enough of myself to put my continue to make myself a priority. And I felt like, oh, we was off for the new year. Maybe I should just add another day for the clients. Because they said, I need to see, Rob, I want to get in. But I can't be there for everyone else if I'm not there for me.
Exactly.
So I'm happy it happened. But I fixed it. I said, no, I can't come in on that day all the time. You know, because sometimes I have to take care of me so that everything is flowing. So I can say, come in for a consultation. Even though, because if I don't see you, I think a lot of times this person's been, I've been doing hair for over 30 years. So it's kind of like, oh, I know her. But no, her hair's changing. Things changes. I need to come and see you. I need you to come in so that I can, so I can make sure you're happy. I don't want to waste your time and I don't want to waste my time.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? And I think in life, that's important.
That's exactly what it is. Because on the other side of the table, when I'm doing therapy, that's what I see is people adjusting and kind of, again, like you said, coping and not just trying to, because I did it last season, I could do it this season. You know, you adjust to that. And I find not everything is going to be the same. So like you said, sometimes it's taking a step back and looking and saying that, you know, this is too much for me right now. And then when I'm ready, I'll take on more.
Yes,
it's that adjustment process.
And that's exactly it. And how can I take on more?
Right, right.
How
you
would
come
it be more
strategically,
effective?
Right?
Yes, exactly. I love that. That's really good. Did you want to share anything else over that?
You know, as you were speaking about it, like too, like I was saying, as a therapist, sometimes I catch people when they come in, they are coming in at their worst. And usually after I sit back and I hear their story, there's usually a process where, like, again, they're spiraling down where they're taking in so much or they're doing so much that they haven't made, you know, adjustments that are good for them. Just because it's like presented to you or it's on your plate, sometimes it could be timing or sometimes it could be like really needing to say no for yourself, like you're saying. And so I always tell people too, in that process, you know, you don't want to spiral down, you want to spiral up. If it's kind of bringing more stress to you, do you need it right now? You know,
exactly.
And having and asking yourself those questions and finding ways. And when I say spiral down, I notice like people will be hard on themselves, like I need to be doing this, I have to do this, and they're putting pressure on themselves in that process. And sometimes it's unnecessary in a sense that, like, if without that kind of sitting back and adjusting, how can I do all of this, and you're just taking it on, you're not coming in with a clear mindset or even a really strategy of how to get it done. You're just maintaining, and that will lead to burnout. So,
and that is not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to retire anytime soon. I love what I love doing hair. People say, are you retired? Are you doing ministry work? I love doing hair. I'm good.
You know,
but I need to make
that
sure that I'm taking care of me as well and others, you know. And it turned out, her hair turned out beautiful. And it was worth coming back the next day. But I also said, but next time, let's do it this way. Because, and I realized that it's so true when we take that time, because it can spiral and it can go left. And you don't want things to, because it's not, I can't necessarily say it was her problem or it was my fault. It was just, it happened.
Yeah.
But how can we get this never to happen again? You know, and I think in life that we just need to learn, get a strategy, and make it work.
Right.
And I think that's what God is really showing me. And it was a time where someone needed their hair done. And I mean, I would have like, oh, you come at 6 a.m. and I'll take care of you. But I had an appointment that I already had. And the old me would have said, well, you know, I'll cancel that. And I'll go do you. And I said, I can't. I have to choose me. And in doing so, God had me meet this lady and God had me minister to. It was crazy because I told her I couldn't do her. And I was able to service. I had to care of me, my needs. And in that, God had me minister to this lady. And then God had me minister to 5 people that day. And I did, I think, 9 clients.
Oh, wow.
And I said, look at that. And I got my 2 services done for me. So I had I said, look at, my day was productive. I said, look at this. I was able to, I put God first and put myself first, right? And in return, God allowed me to do kingdom work and my job.
Right.
And it was, I wasn't even tired that day. I was like, yes, because I felt like I had won.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, and then the person who could have came, it was so crazy because the amount of money that I would have made on that service, mm-hmm. God in return had someone else come that week. And I was able to receive that same amount.
Right. Okay.
I said, look, and it was unexpected.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I said, wow, Lord, I chose you, did everything that you wanted me to do, and I chose myself, and I still, in return, didn't even lose. Mm-hmm. I still, it was benefiting and was blessed with that same amount. Because a lot of times we think we put our tags, well, this, you know, this is going to, I need to go ahead and work, because we do, but if we don't take care of self, mm-hmm. self-love.
Right.
And take care of yourself, you're not going to be good for no one else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where depression comes in. Because if you don't feel your best, you don't look your best,
then you're not doing your best.
You're not
either.
Doing your best.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But if you take care of you and you put yourself up there. I was like, and I had got up that morning and worked out. I had my meditation. That was a great day. Mm-hmm. My meditation with the Lord. I had worked out, got different things I needed done. I said, it was a great day. And I mm-hmm. said, this is the kind of day that I want every day, mm-hmm. you know, and I have those days, but then sometimes, you know, you don't, you mm-hmm. know, so learning to just really make yourself that priority,
right.
and being kind to yourself is everything, mm-hmm. and kind thoughts, like you said, and not the negative mm-hmm. thoughts, because a lot of times when we do that, people learn that the individuals cope differently.
Right.
You know,
right. I had a similar situation with that during the pandemic, where I'm used to taking on maybe like 20 to 25 clients, but because my clients were experiencing the same thing I was doing, like mm-hmm. shut down mm-hmm. and all of the stuff, you know, all the panic that was going on with the world, I had to tell myself too, mm-hmm. like, I can't really be there for them if I'm not there for myself and I'm not addressing my own mental health and my spiritual needs in mm-hmm. this sense. So, you know, I wasn't showing up the same way because I was depressed, and sometimes mm-hmm. hearing those stories were triggering for me. So stepping back from that and learning the same process that, you know, I have to be kind to myself mm-hmm. was rewarding in that sense. You want to do good and
yes.
serve everyone, but you're not doing your best if you're not showing up.
If
like
you're not
your best.
Showing up your best. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to be the best that you can for everybody else. But if you're not showing up for
right.
yourself, how are you going to show up for somebody else?
Exactly. Yeah.
That is so good. I love how you said that. And I think that's when I really learned how to regroup and learn how to pivot and change. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna do an episode on that, yeah. pivoting and changing. It's so important to learn how, like you said, you couldn't do it the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, so what are your thoughts on that? Like pivoting and learning how to just pivot and change. Like when it's not going right, how do I just pivot?
Mm-hmm. That's my part of like saying that adjustment process. Sometimes we get stuck, and outside of our situation, we think we could handle it, and we're not handling the best. And I find, like I said, people come in at their worst place mm-hmm. because they're really truly stuck. They're trying to do their best, mm-hmm. but can't get unstuck. And
yeah,
so
I love that.
I always tell people too, like for me, like my biggest thing is like faith, like you said, spirituality, mm-hmm. praying about it, mm-hmm. and kind of like meditating and trying to find a word from God to mm-hmm. say kind of what is my next move. Mm-hmm. You know, what is your purpose for mm-hmm. me? And there's also that part, too. I have good friends, support system, mm-hmm. who I can talk to, bounce things off. They come with up with strategies. Mm-hmm. At the last end of it, I'm a therapist, so I'm always going to promote therapy, that sometimes we're so blinded by mm-hmm. what we're going through. Like I said, during the pandemic, everybody's going through depression. I know what depression looks like, mm-hmm. but then I have to go back and look at it, what it looks like for me.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. what I love. That's why I wanted you to go. And then that's when you pivot and you switched over.
Yeah.
It was funny because the other day I was in meditation. Sometimes I meditate different ways, but I was like just soaking in the tub, and I was just like this meditation, this quiet time. And I began to ask God, like, Lord, how do you see me? What's next? Mm-hmm. And he said, strength. He was like, strength. I'm mm-hmm. strengthening you. And I was like, wow. That was good. And it was funny because I felt like he was doing that in me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, God ended up revealing something to me that night. And I looked up the meaning, and it was talking about strength. And then the scripture was talking about strength. And I was like, okay, Lord, yes, mm-hmm. you know. But I think that, and sometimes to really gain strength, you have to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just sharing, like, this has been, this last 3 weeks was hard, but, and in areas that's normally comfortable. Mm-hmm. He kind of shakes it up a little bit.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. Right? And mm-hmm. and I was like, Lord, you shaking this up. And this is like normally easy. He was like, mm-hmm, I'm strengthening you though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want you to get too complacent, too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to shake it up just a little bit
mm-hmm.
to get you where I have you to go. Because I don't want it to be a lot of times so easy.
Right, right. Yeah, my pastor gave a good demonstration where he had like people subbing out thoughts, because I also mm-hmm. in therapy will say kind of replace a negative thought with a positive mm-hmm. one, replace an anxious thought with a helpful mm-hmm. one. So if you're feeling fearful, you know, again, placing it and finding some strength in that thought, mm-hmm. you know. So the demonstration he gave is like sub it out, so like yeah. not sitting with that part of being complacent, like mm-hmm. oh, this is sad, and just sitting with that story. What can you do to change that narrative, exactly. or finding kind of like, you know, hope at the end of mm-hmm. it?
And I think that's what's so good. That's what faith is all about. That's exactly. why he says, for faith is the substance of things of hope for, but mm-hmm. the evidence of the things not seen. Exactly. You know, it's like, okay, you know, you have that faith, but if you really want your future to be great, it's gonna be some things that's not seen, but mm-hmm. you have to have hope for it. You know, right, you have to. Right. Work that faith. So like, okay, no, I'm believing that change is gonna come. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna stay here. I might mm-hmm. not see the end result just yet, but I have faith that it's gonna shift, it's gonna right. change. I have hope that it's gonna make a difference, it's gonna change. And I think a lot of times people don't want to embrace change.
And I think that's so important about that pivot process, that you have hope in it, mm-hmm. and you have faith, and you continue going on. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, so many people will get stuck, and they'll just stay in that negative place and never change. So without that hope, you're not able to make that pivot.
You won't make the pivot,
right?
Because all you know is like you. And then another thing, when you pivot, you can't look back,
right?
And I think that's the biggest problem that we have mm-hmm. is that people look back, and that's mm-hmm. how they stay stuck.
Right.
Because they're looking back to what used to be mm-hmm. and not what's before them.
Exactly.
Wow, mm-hmm. I love it. That's so right. good. Wow. Woo, man, this is good. So how can an individual start to recognize their healthy thoughts, patterns? Whew, my God. And break the cycle. How can they break their cycle?
Right. I think we're talking about about like that pivot mm-hmm. process, that self-reflection. Mm-hmm. I also think, like I said, I catch it big in how I do self-reflection mm-hmm. is sitting back on my day where I'm journaling and I'm catching some triggers that I didn't even know was mm-hmm. there. So if I'm sitting back and I find myself like, gosh, something's really triggering me. I'm stuck, or I was really upset. Mm-hmm. I'll look at an interaction and what happened about that interaction that really triggered me. Maybe someone rubbed me the wrong way mm-hmm. because they said something negative mm-hmm. to me, and I'll sit with it. Mm-hmm. And you know, you pray, you meditate mm-hmm. on it, mm-hmm. you move forward. Mm-hmm. But it's also to knowing kind of what got you off in the day and doing something about it, adjusting to it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love the trigger. Mm-hmm. Go deeper with the trigger.
So I think kind of like what I said, most people when they come in, like I'm unpacking things in their past, like you brought up trauma, mm-hmm. that they may not know they found triggers along the way mm-hmm. to why they do or think the way that they do. Mm-hmm. So like as I'm thinking about my own personal triggers, it could, that situation I gave, it could have been something where somebody crossed the boundary mm-hmm. with me mm-hmm. and I thought that again a boundary crossing, so I'm triggering and staying mm-hmm. stuck with me. And so without that self,
it paralyzed you too. You right. get paralyzed
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And without that self-reflection, not knowing it, we're just walking around like just, you know, uncomfortable mm-hmm. upset or whatever,
and
bothered.
Everybody else around you is dealing with now, like, because they triggered you, now everybody else has to deal with your whole mood and exactly. your whole, because it's something that you're battling with. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I love, my husband used to say, it really helped me. Everybody's not going to be like you, Robin. That mm-hmm. saying right there. I said, who that helped me? Mm-hmm. Because everybody's not going to think like you, do it the way you'll do it. Because right. I think a lot of times we're like, I wouldn't ever do it. He said, everybody's not going to be that way. Mm-hmm. So you can't go around broken and upset because somebody hurt your feelings.
Right.
Because everybody is not going to treat you the way. That's why it's always good to treat yourself, learn how to treat yourself with kindness. Mm-hmm. Because by practicing that, I have found with myself, the self-love journey, is that if I learn to love me, and if I'm learning to be kind to myself and show myself grace, others have to do it the same way. Because if I'm doing it for myself, you have no other choice but to do it in return for me. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then you don't need to be in my space. Mm-hmm. Because you need to love me enough to respect my boundaries.
Right.
You know, for myself. And I think, and when we do that, because everybody has trauma. Everybody has some things that triggers them and that can set them off. Mm-hmm. But I think the way how we learn how to handle it and how we learn how to communicate it.
Right.
That communication is so great, because mm-hmm. a lot of times people hold it in. I was very guilty of that growing up. Mm-hmm. I held so much in because I didn't want to hurt people's feelings or have them take it a certain way, because my mother was one. She was very witty. Mm-hmm. and sharp. And so, and my feelings got hurt a lot because my mom was like, you know, and I'm like, and she didn't mean any harm. That was just who she was. Mm-hmm. But in return, it allowed me to be more like my dad, very passive. Mm-hmm. And I would not say anything, so I would hold it in. And then when I got tired, I would just explode, and it was horrible. Right. Because I held it in so long to where I just explode. And I think that triggered, and that was that trauma that I as a kid going through that, and then it triggered it, and I just went off. And then I said things that I really didn't mean. So learning to really be true to yourself and communicate your feelings,
right,
and how you really are feeling at the time. You know, mm-hmm. I can't do this, or I'm uncomfortable, or I don't like when you do this, or X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. I think now that my mom's gone, I really feel like I have a freedom now. Mm-hmm. You know, to really just like, no, I'm not taking that anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I did it because it was my mother. Mm-hmm. So I honored her. But no, my mom's gone. I don't have to be abused like that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and even then, I kind of was telling my mom when she was living, like, Mama, no, don't talk to me like that. Or because mm-hmm. She didn't mean harm. She was just who she was, mm-hmm. you know. And I love her so much. But it also taught me not to be like that.
Right, right. You spoke to something important that I tell people, and it's a like analogy I use. I said, imagine your body is like a balloon. Mm-hmm. If you keep pumping that balloon full of air, it's eventually going to burst. Mm-hmm. The same thing when we suppress our feelings, we mm-hmm. keep it in. Eventually, we find ourselves saying something we really didn't mean. Mm-hmm. It was just in that moment we mm-hmm. had so much on our plate that we burst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why it's better. It's so important to have healthy conversations.
Right.
Within yourself, like I love how you said, sometimes you have to speak to you, how we started off when we said our self-worth mm-hmm. and knowing that we're enough, because our feelings and our thoughts would make us feel like we're not. But when we build ourselves up, mm-hmm. I am enough. I am worthy. I am beautiful. I am kind. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. When we build ourselves up, then we know, oh, hey, we're puffed, not arrogance, but we puff ourselves up with confidence. Like, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is so important is knowing who you are so that you can't overcome depression, knowing who you are, so you can overcome those trigger moments and those and the trauma things. Because I think by learning who you are and standing firm in it, it taught me how to overcome the things that I experienced growing up, mm-hmm. so that I don't pass that on to my daughters.
Right.
You know,
and that's a big part of breaking those cycles. You're not just breaking it with yourself, but mm-hmm. you're breaking it with like your family, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, which is very important. Mm-hmm. And you know, and a lot of times we don't break it because we feel like, well, we don't want to, the saying, don't talk about what goes on in your house, keep what's in your house. No, we need to release those things.
Right.
Some things need to be released.
They do. Right.
Know? So healing can take place, because mm-hmm. some things, you know, you might not have been abused physically, but you might have been abused verbally, mm-hmm. you know, or you might have been abused in so many different ways, and you don't even realize, and then you're abusing someone else because of what you experience, mm-hmm. you know. And I think a lot of times, as we are to honor our parents, you know, the Bible says, honor your mother and your father, and your days will be longer. But it also tells the parents, don't provoke your children.
Right.
And I think a lot of times the parents forget that part, provoking mm-hmm. their children. And mm-hmm. they provoke their children. And then it's like when the children tell them, then they're like, oh, hold on, you're not honoring me. Mm-hmm. But wait, you provoked me.
Right, right.
So it's like, come on now. We need to learn how to mm-hmm. work on that. And I think that in return, it's just respecting and honoring others around, even leadership, like you said, the church, our leadership, and on our jobs, mm-hmm. how we interact with different people. But I think that communication of our true self mm-hmm. is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and being and learning to really recognize your thought pattern. Like, what am I thinking? Mm-hmm. Am I thinking of things that's good and pure and holy and just?
Yeah.
What am I thinking on? You mm-hmm. know, what am I thinking on? You know, is it negative thoughts floating through my mind? Because if mm-hmm. I have negative thoughts, then I'm going to be negative.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm going to communicate, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if I communicate positive thoughts, I'm going to communicate positive thoughts. And then others, even if they're uncomfortable, they're like, maybe I can see it. Maybe I should see it through her eyes, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that because negative situations will arise.
Right.
They will come. Mm-hmm. But how do you handle these situations? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that if we handle it with a godly, you know, disposition and just like, okay, the character of God, mm-hmm. then his character, his love, his joy, his peace, mm-hmm. you know, his patience, you know,
right.
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. His kindness, his gentleness, and his faith. And And that self-control, when it just flows through us, then we're able to really allow his presence to be known in our lives through others. So others mm-hmm. can say, wow, she has all that. And then they start loving on you because mm-hmm. because it's gushing out of you, and kindness is gushing out of you, and joy is gushing out of you, mm-hmm. and peace is gushing out of you. Others be able to, wow, there's something about her. Mm-hmm. I want some of that.
Right.
You know, and I think that's was so important. Mm-hmm. Do you have any real examples of how just depression or, you know, trauma or anything just kind of hits you in life? You have anything?
Yeah, I think I'm going to circle back to that time, like I said, when, especially during the pandemic, I think most therapists had it hard because on one hand, we saw what the medical world was dealing with saving lives. I think we saw like people personal stories and how it could be heavy. I wasn't only dealing with depression and anxiety. I was also dealing with loss and people like grieving loved ones and really not knowing a lot of uncertainty with work and things like that. So when you're seeing what your clients are dealing with and you're dealing with the same thing, it just makes it really hard. So for me, like I said, my saving grace has been, you know, spirituality, and it also been just kind of like, as I said, during that process, really knowing what what was on my plate and what I could handle. So I think, like as I said, with that time where I had to kind of give myself grace was like taking a step down and saying, I can't take these number of clients.
Exactly.
I also enrolled in my personal therapy, you know, so that way I'm making sure that like while my clients are telling me something about losing a loved one and I know I just lost a loved one, it's not triggering me.
You still have to be strong for them.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like you still feeling you're having your own.
Exactly. Oof. I'm having my own emotional experience, but really making sure that's aside and I have a personal space in therapy to talk about it, but staying present for my clients.
Yes.
So that was a personal part where, like I said, that pivot was, it was different, you know? So same thing, money struggles coming up and my clients are talking about losing a job, but like you're looking at your own finances and uncertainty, but like again, saving some space in personal therapy to like look at my own personal struggles and that's not just trying to help other people because I need the help too.
Yeah, so. That's really good. I think back on how even with the COVID, with the pandemic and everything with me, because I was shut down and everything, but I had to endure the same thing, and I had to really like how it was hard because I was out of work for 6 months, but they still want, the bills were still rolling in, they still needed to get paid. And with God, he's so good. His grace just kept me. I was talking to someone and they said, oh, so you lost your business because of the pandemic? And it felt good to say, no, actually, I didn't. Right. I closed the business because that season was over. But I didn't, it didn't have to get closed because of the pandemic.
Right.
Because God's grace kept me. He kept it open, even through the pandemic. If I wanted to be there even now, we'll still be there.
Right.
But God was like, no, I want you to pivot more into ministry, kingdom stuff. So I'm like, wow. And it felt good to say, because and others... was like, they, I guess they thought, oh, she must have closed because of the pandemic. No, but I really didn't care what they thought. It's what, no, but I was able, I was good. I was able to answer, no, that's not what happened. You know, actually it was because, you know, wanted to do kingdom work. But I thought about when you shared that, how it was a lady and God was telling me he wanted me to start the grieving, growing through grief group. And I think it was going to start 2 weeks later. And I was doing service in the lady's hair. And she just starts sharing her testimony of her mom and how her mother transitioned. And it was exactly the way my mother transitioned. And it was, and I had to finish her hair and she was going on and on. I think she talked about it for about an hour and a half. And I was like, Lord, it's going to be a little too much. This is a lot. And I was like, but I didn't want her not to share her story. I want her to be free to share her story. But it was a lot. It was starting to hit me. And I'm like, Lord. But I said, I want to. But I said, Lord, hey, how am I going to do, handle when we're starting to grieve and going through grief and they're sharing their testimonies?
Right, right.
And I felt like God allowed me to go through that moment so that I can see you can handle it. Even though it was a lot. And I mean, her saying, see, everything my mother went through, she shared. So it was like I was reliving my mother's death.
Right.
And I said, and I didn't want to tell her, can you stop? Because I wanted her to just get what she needed at the time. But I realized when I went through that, I said, I'm ready. I could handle it. Because I was kind of wondering, like, how am I going to be? Because mm-hmm. I felt like at that moment, it was really, I was really going through a place of sadness and was going through kind of a little depression for myself. How am I going to help someone else? God said, you're going to make it through. You're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think because I was so anticipating the moment. And I think that's when anxiety comes in. When you are like, okay, my mom's her year's coming up. It's coming up. So I think I was really going through the sadness, the depression, and all this, the uncertainty. All this was gonna, what's gonna happen on that day mm-hmm. when I saw her take her last breath, mm-hmm. and I was in anxiety was right because I was the what ifs, and I was going through the flight, and I was going through the, you know, mm-hmm. the height and the flight. I was like the flight and the fight. It was all happening at the same time. Cause like what's with. And I really found myself, and that's when she kind of was sharing her thing. And I was like, Lord, I feel like I'm about to crack. But I was able to endure. He said, don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. And I think when I got to that day, and that's when I started my 3-day water fast. Didn't even realize I was starting at that same time. When that day happened, I was like, wow, mama, oh my God, I'm okay. Sometimes we think that's when anxiety, because we trigger and the what ifs and we're trying to, and anxiety comes in and the depression comes in because you don't really know what's going to happen.
Right. I find a lot of times I'm catching people anxieties because I'm listening to their thought patterns. Mm-hmm. Like you said, those mm-hmm. what ifs comes in mm-hmm. and those what ifs can go multiple ways and we start playing them out in our head. And mm-hmm. before we know it, we're playing out a hypothetical situation. Yes. When the moment comes, we're ready. We're just letting that anxiety build and build because that uncertainty that's under there, we don't know which way it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's that part of like just
fear
and trusting the process mm-hmm. and kind of going through it. You'll find that, like you said, you'll be okay.
I was fine. Mm-hmm. I was like, I went through all right. these things.
Unnecessary
stress mm-hmm. and put myself through some unnecessary depression, mm-hmm. not knowing what was going to happen. And that day came and I'm like, wow. And actually did the water fast and was starting my whole life pivot. Mm-hmm. And it was just for the good. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this was really good. Right. It was a good lesson for me to even so that I could help someone else, too, when they get to that place where closer to their mother or their father or their loved one's death, mm-hmm. you know, that the day that their parents mm-hmm. or their loved one passed away.
Right.
You know, so I think that, it was.
I think that's important. And as I echo that, like sometimes staying in those what ifs, that's what keeps us stuck because, thinking that way could have negative effects on you. Symptomology could come in. Like, I know when I'm stressed, mm-hmm. I usually feel it in my neck or my lower back. Because you're overthinking, you're stressed, and it's like you said, unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. And it starts to take a somatic form on that. Some people have, you know, headaches and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So it's.
I love that you said that because I was going to share that. So I had it in my hips. Mm-hmm. It was in my. I was weighing that grief in my hips, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and it was just sitting there. And I said. And then once I got past that, it just left because mm-hmm. I didn't realize mm-hmm. I was. It was just so much, mm-hmm. but it was in my hips.
Right.
So you said your lower back. So it was kind of like my lower back, but my hips area. Mm-hmm. I was like, this right here.
Right.
Ooh, mm-hmm. And it was unnecessary. And I mm-hmm. didn't even realize that I was experiencing it until after I went, that date came. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I feel better, you mm-hmm. know? So yeah, that's good. That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. Yay. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah. So as faith, you know, in this journey, I think you kind of shared, you kind of touched on a little bit of, but your faith, just, you know, how can your faith, you kind of said it throughout this whole thing about just how using your faith and your belief in God, you know, if you wanted to share with them today, just share with them about how you can allow your faith to help you overcome, mm-hmm. like you said, the scriptures and going to church and meditation.
Right.
You said
right.
some things. Did you want to share anything else about how your faith can really...
Faith is a big resource that we don't realize that's a part of our mental coping because it gives us guidelines and rules and structures, you know, and I'm coming from a biblical perspective of how we should live our lives. And it really, too, instores that hope in there, that what we talked about mm-hmm. that's needed for mental health. Mm-hmm. I find that, too, when I kind of do assessments and I hear, like, people, and I often talk about, like, what are your resources? Mm-hmm. What's helping you cope? You find people don't have resources. So where I said mm-hmm. I can talk to my friends or whatever, mm-hmm. they don't have anyone to talk to because talking to them, they might not be getting the answers or the support they need. Mm-hmm. They're the only support. Or also, too, I find that, like, people don't have that spiritual or religious foundation mm-hmm. that's grounding them. And that's important a part, like I said, is that mm-hmm. restoring having hope and trusting the process to where if they don't have that, sometimes, again, their foundation is not strong. I often seen in like depression where people once had that spiritual faith or they had a religion and a foundation, but then they pulled away from it because they start like, again, I find people when you're depressed, those negative thoughts come in. So you're angry with God, you're blaming God, and it's really getting back to a place of, again, like restoring that that faith and having hope in the process and trusting it. So it's a healing journey to where faith plays a big role in it. You know, it's not really just good. Mental health.
Yes. That's really good. Wow, that's really good. Wow, I love that. That's great. Ooh, this was good. This was really good. I enjoyed you. I like to leave with an I am. So what I am would you like to leave with our guests today? The leave was I am. What would you like to think of?
You know, I love that word worthy today because so much of, like I said, my process where especially like I think the hardest one was when having self-doubt, like with the pandemic. And like you said, your own testimony of it. My testimony was I came out and I had my own practice for the, for myself. You know, I wasn't no longer working for anyone. So amongst that uncertainty, like it forced me to get out on my own and trust the process and, you know, start my own therapy business. So right. So I'm worthy.
Yes, so. You are worthy, you know, and I think that is so important because that worthiness, like, you know, others, they, it doesn't matter how they see you, how you see yourself is most important.
Right.
And knowing that you are worthy to do anything you put your mind to and your, and your heart to, you can do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. You know, he does the impossible.
Yes.
And I think that he makes us and we need to learn to declare that I am worthy.
Right. Right.
I am worthy of whatever comes before me. And I think that even though with the pandemic, my faith, I said, I can't quit. I don't care if we are not essential. I don't care. I still made sure that we took care of our business and my husband. It was hard. You know, it was hard. And God had so many people just pour in our lives, you know, during the pandemic. I mean, people were, they were like, Robin, check your this, check that. And they were just sending just resources and people's on my doorsteps. People would ring my doorbell and left flowers and envelopes with money in it. Just, I have a really good support system. But I really believe it's because when you are good to people, people in return will be good to you.
It starts with that kindness that you were speaking about, right?
If you're kind, if you show kindness, you show love, people in return, they will show up for you. And they really showed up for me. I think that some people are that's a whole nother topic, but but we'll talk about that another time. But just being, knowing your worthiness and knowing your self-worth and just walk it in that is everything. So we leave with you today. I am worthy. I am worthy. And to know that you're worthy no matter what thoughts is going through your mind, build yourself up, letting yourself know that you're enough, you're worthy, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And if God can take care of the lilies of the field and the flowers, he can clothe them, he can clothe you too. So stay encouraged and thank you so much for tuning in to Faith Over Facts. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to Faith Over Facts. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We have new episodes every Friday. If you would like to support the ministry by donating or purchasing Faith Over Facts merch, please do so by visiting my website, robinreneeministries.com. See you next time. Bye-bye.